Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Since Patrick Williams has moved to the bench, it's also kind of coincided with Modest Bousillas playing more minutes as well. When you pair in Dalen Terry and Jalen Smith, we got something building here with this bench unit. On today's episode, I want to talk about it and ask the question, are the Bulls onto something with their bench and their youth movement more than we realize? We'll talk a little bit about that. Plus, the Warriors and the Bulls are still trying to find reportedly common ground on a trade as the Warriors are trying to come up with trade packages to involve a third team to get Zach LaVine to the Golden State Warriors. We're going to talk about all that plus the mailbag right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host here, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today. And, you know, it's been a nice kind of revelation here recently to talk about or see Modest Bousillas, Patrick Williams, Dalen Terry, and the performances that they've been putting together kind of over the last three games, right? They've been playing really good since Patrick Williams moved to the bench, and the numbers are really starting to support that as well. As a matter of fact, what could be the Bulls' actual bench unit once Zach LaVine returns is actually looking pretty damn good. I want to go over it. So the possessions that Ayo Dosunmu at the one, Dalen Terry at the two, Modest Bousillas at the three, Patrick Williams at the four, and Jalen Smith at the five, right? That five-man unit is approaching playing more and more possessions together, right? In that time period that they played together, they actually have a point differential of plus 66.7. They average 100 points per 100 possessions, which isn't necessarily great, but when you turn around and look at it, the points that they give up per 100 possessions is only 33. Now, in no way am I saying that differential is going to maintain, right? As a unit plays more minutes together, teams also kind of figure out they have more tape on them, but also you just see kind of more of the negatives, right? But there is something here. When I always go to advanced analytics, the thing I like to point towards is this should point to the direction of the coaching staff that it's something that they should explore more. Not necessarily saying, hey, boom, it's an all be all. Advanced analytics support this, play this lineup more. No, but you do want to see what you can get a little bit more out of it. As a matter of fact, another lineup with Ayo Dosunmu, Modest Bousillas, and Patrick Williams at 2, 3, and 4 with Josh Giddey and Nikola Vucevic out there with those guys, the starters supporting them, that lineup has played even more possessions together. They're plus 42 when they play together. They're averaging 92 points per 100 possessions, but they're only giving up 50 points per 100 possessions. So again, I think you're starting to see a little bit of an overlap there that Modest Bousillas and Patrick Williams and Ayo Dosunmu, that three-man lineup, there's something brewing there with that, right? Even if you go and look at last night's game against the Toronto Raptors, Modest Bousillas and Patrick Williams were on the court together for a total of 18 minutes and 42 seconds, so almost 19 minutes, right? In that time, they had a plus-minus of plus 12, a net rating of plus 30.7, an offensive rating of 125.6, and a defensive rating of 94.9. That's amazing, right? They played 39 offensive possessions together and 39 defensive possessions together, so it's good. They also played with a pace of 100.1, which is solid enough. That together as well, while they're out there on the court, 76% assist percentage. That's why having the right guard out there with those guys is really important as well. And when you look at their minutes, one of the best lineups with them as well was Ayo, Kobe, Patrick Williams, Modest Bousillas, Nikola Vucevic. Would that not be the starting lineup maybe if a big move happens for the Chicago Bulls? Like, again, I'm not saying that the Bulls should make any moves to make this lineup more of a thing. I'm just saying that there are starting to be signs here that the youth movement that the Bulls were originally trying to come to this thing with, right, seems to be working. And that's why on the second half of the season, after the All-Star break, kind of after the Bulls know where they are, right, that's one of the things that I think we got to keep in mind. this Bulls team was still playing in a way where it was focused on, not to say that they're still playing to win games, clearly, right? But when you are playing to see, hey, we want to see exactly how far this roster can go, you're going to play maybe your young players a little bit less. We're seeing now with injury that Billy Donovan is trusting these young guys a lot more, and thus they are thriving. Now, that means that you have to try to hope that Billy Donovan's going to keep playing the young players more often, which, again, we already know it's Billy Donovan. It's already some big stress bubbles in that, so you can't ever expect Billy Donovan to consistently do something like that. But I'm just saying that the signs are starting to be there. The signs are starting to be there that the young guys actually are pretty good together. And, you know, and that's fine coming off the bench. I'm not saying, hey, let's change the starting lineup. Let's trade all of the vets. I'm not saying that. That's something that a direction that the Bulls would actually have to pick to come down to. That's a different story, right? But I am saying that there is something that the young guys that you came into the season hoping and wishing that you're going to find something special with, those are the guys that are starting to bring some things together and play pretty solidly for you as well, right? And Modest Bousillis overall is starting to get to a much better place when you look at it. He's part of 3+ lineups that have all played over 50 possessions together. Kobe White, Io, Dalen Terry, Modest Bousillis, Jalen Smith. That lineup has a differential of +5.7 and an offensive rating of 115.9, which, again, is solid, right? They're also allowing only 110 points per 100 possessions while they're scoring more than that. Another lineup with Modest Bousillis. It's him, Dalen Terry, Kobe White, Talen Horton-Tucker, and Jalen Smith. I like to swap that out with P. Will or whatever else you could do there, but that's 94 points per 100 possessions with a positive 8-point differential as well. So we're starting to see Modest Bousillis is starting to affect things really good. And I think that as you're going forth into the season and you kind of know where you are, you might as well kind of try to start playing towards some of the strengths to see, all right, as you go into the offseason, what do we really have there? And these lineups are starting to give the Bulls at least something I hope they're thinking about. But then again, you never know what this Bulls team is going to do. Like, this Bulls team could, again, I made the joke yesterday, like Bruce Brown is somebody that's reportedly going to be on the buyout market. I can see the Bulls signing Bruce Brown and then being like, all right, bet. Dalen, you've been playing pretty good, but yeah, we ain't got no minutes for you now. This veteran's coming in here, right? Like, it's a joke. We haven't heard any rumors or anything like that, but it just, you never know with this Bulls team. And as long as Billy Donovan's coaching, you never know if he's actually going to go with the things that work consistently or the moment Zach LaVine comes back, are we back into turmoil with the lineup? That's why having a coach with a vision and a plan matters, right? Billy Donovan hasn't always had that, but you know, it is what it is, man. So we'll see what comes about for it. But overall, I just wanted to point out that because you guys know I'm an analytic guy, right? I am very much an analytics guy, but I pair that with the eye test. And I think when you look at the eye test, right, these guys are coming in with energy. They're not backing down. And whether it's their excitement over playing together or their excitement over just how they get. Somebody left a comment, right? And I want to give the person credit for who left the comment. So bear with me. I know this is not the best podcasting in the world when I got to look something up. But I wasn't planning on originally using this quote. But again, it was such a great quote that I gotta get it together. But you know, when the quote was, and sometimes it's not about where you play, right? As far as talking about P. Will coming off the bench, but it's who you play with, right? And finding the right combinations of guys is an underrated thing, right? It's from Jeremy Siegler. As a matter of fact, he says it's not that Pat coming off the bench. I think it's who he's out there with. Agree with take about P. Will and Modest together. So a great point there. And sometimes it is about that. It's about who you're out there on the court with and how your guys' skill overlap. We need to see more of Dalen, P. Will, Modest Bousillis anyway. See what these guys continue to look like. I love that Billy Donovan kind of restricted the rotation some. No THT. It's unfortunate that Julian Phillips kind of he found himself outside of the rotation. But playing those guys together, the Jalen Smith, Modest Bousillis, Patrick Williams, Dalen Terry, being the four guys that you played off the bench yesterday, the only four guys that you played off the bench, I think it's starting to work. And I think you're starting to see some of that identities-type play style that you want the Bulls to have, and it's coming from the bench unit. So let me know what you guys think on all that down below. Am I blowing too much of a small sample size out of proportion? Do you want to see those lineups more? Let me know what you guys think on all that down below. All right, with that said, let's go ahead and get into the next topic for today. Apparently, the Warriors are trying their best to put together a three-team trade, to find a third-team trade in which they can find a way to get the Bulls the assets that they want without giving up Andrew Wiggins and or Jonathan Kuminga. This comes from Brett Siegel of Clutch Sports, who says this. The Bulls and Warriors have held significant trade conversations through the weeks. Although Vucevic was an early favorite to be traded to Golden State, The focus has shifted to LaVine, who instantly would become the team's second scoring option. Kuminga being traded doesn't seem likely for the Warriors, and trading Wiggins still draws a lot of mixed reviews. As a result, Golden State has been going through all of its options ahead of the trade deadline, including the possibility of pursuing LaVine without giving up either forward, sources said. The Dubs efforts to craft a suitable trade package for LaVine next to Curry. So this is, you know, we've heard this type of stuff before, right? But it does seem like the Warriors are still doing everything in their power to try to figure it out. And because the Warriors do want to craft and they try to build a team that they feel can get close to contending this year, it makes sense that they want to try to keep Wiggins together. Wiggins and Zach LaVine have a good relationship. They played before. I also think their skill sets kind of overlap a little bit with Wiggins being better defensively, even though the Golden State Warriors have technically been a better defensive team with Wiggins off the court than on the court. But that's nonetheless, he's having a good defensive season, but just weird. That's the weird thing about analytics, right? Like, but here's the thing. It seems like the Warriors are trying to craft this trade without giving up. And here, if they don't want to give up Wiggins, fine, right? Like, I've said this before many times. If the Bulls make a trade like this, it's not that the player is not the goal here, right? They're not looking for a player that all of a sudden makes the Chicago Bulls better. I've called out a lot of you guys when you're like, but how does this make us better? It's not about making us better on paper right now. It's about giving more future assets to make us better, right? And I think when you look at that, the Warriors have every pick option. The only pick that they don't have that they can't trade is the 2030 pick, because there's some protection on it that it could go to Washington if it's 20 through 30. Other than that, the Golden State Warriors have built this thing out to where they have all their first-round picks. They got multiple second-round picks. So the thing is if they can craft the money, right, that they can get it done to bring in Zach LaVine, the Bulls, I think, will take anything, as long as it's not long-term bad money, but if they're getting the picks that they want. So I think this, if the Golden State Warriors are willing to give up a 2025 I'm building everything around 2025. This is my personal thing, right? If you can get their 2025 first-round pick, maybe I'll settle on the 2026 because that's a deep draft as well. And then we also get the two second-round picks in 2025. And the reason why I say that is this is a deep draft. Chance to package that up. We already have another pick in 2025. Maybe you can package two of your 2025 second-round picks, maybe all three of them, to move up higher in the draft. Maybe even the lower 2025 pick to move up higher in the draft, right? The flexibility that's gained there. But then when you look at how can the Warriors craft a trade package to max Zach LaVine's $40 million salary while without giving up Wiggins? Because I said it before, Wiggins has to be included in the deal to make the salary work, unless you're basically doing a super trade, right? Unless you've crafted some type of trade that leads it to being you're sending up basically all of the rest of your roster. And that's what the Warriors would technically have to do. If the Warriors are truly trying to find a trade package to where they don't have to give up Wiggins in the trade, the only way they can do that is this. Dennis Schroeder, Gary Payton II, Buddy Hield, Kyle Anderson, Moses Moody. That's it. Five players that they would have to take. They're basically taking away so much of their depth to do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tap, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, they still got Kevon Looney in that case. Still got Trayce Jackson-Davis in that case. So you still got some bench players, but you're basically taking all of your other players and saying, boom, this is what we're putting in the trade. The Bulls can only technically take the same number of players they're sending out as back. So even if you include Zach LaVine, let's say THT and Torrey Craig, right, which is your biggest contract and your two minimum contracts, which I doubt you're going to do that, you still have to find a third team to trade to take another two or three players. So that's what the Warriors are trying to do. They got not even a week now. You got 6 days to get that done. So if the Warriors can find something that's enticing for the Bulls, but I do think if you can get a 2025 pick And ideally, I think you would want another first round that's protected. But let's just say you're sending out your 2 second round picks in 2025 and the Bulls are willing to bite on that because they're getting salary cap relief on top of all of that. Maybe. Just maybe you're able to do that. But that's a really tight needle that the Washington Wizards, the Golden State Warriors would have to thread to try to get Zach LaVine in their building. Can they do it? Listen, I'm not too hopeful, but we'll see what happens there. Again, I am still of the mind that if you're not getting exactly what you want back for a Zach LaVine trade, you don't move him. That's my thought process, but you guys can let me know how you feel down below. All right, let's get into the next voicemail, man. The first one, we're going into the mailbag. The first one, this one's from Brian.
Hey, Brian here. Hey, man, how you doing? Sorry about that cold. I have the same thing. I believe you gave it to me. Yeah, man, Warriors trade, Zach LaVine. I'm in on this. In fact, I think either one of Zach or Vooch gets traded to the Dubs before the deadline. That's my prediction. We'll see. But yeah, just playing around with fanspo, which I suck at, but whatever. I kind of dig Zach and Torrey Craig to the Dubs. And either we take Wiggins, Gary Payton II, and Kevon Looney, and maybe a first round, maybe a second, probably not. I'd be down with that. I personally think Andrew Wiggins is decent. Contract is good, 26 mil. That's not that bad for 3 years. He's 29, right? So that he should be fine in that span. Athletic wing, can play some D, you know. It's not bad. But then I got to thinking, what if we don't want that, right? What if Acme wants to offload Wiggs because, you know, 3 year contract, maybe we don't need him and maybe we could do that later, whatever, that's fine. But what if we sent in a 3-team trade, if we sent Wiggs to back home to Canada, to the Raptors, and took back Bruce Brown in his 1 year expiring. So then we'd have 3 expirings and maybe a first and I don't know. Maybe a second, probably not. I'm kind of thinking like, who says no? I think Wiggs looks pretty good on the Raptors. I don't know what their books look like, but Jesus, Wiggs and Scotty Barnes. I don't hate that. Anyway, you can laugh at me because I'm with you. Trade machines are hilarious and stupid. But like, it's interesting. What you think?
See ya.
What you think?
See ya.
What you think?
See ya.
First, Zach traded to the Dubs before the deadline. I like what you did in trying to find Wiggins a third team. I don't know if the Raps will be looking to get into it. And then paired with what I just talked about before, with the fact that the Golden State Warriors are trying to find a trade where they can keep Andrew Wiggins. I think at that point, you're looking for a team that you can dump salary off to, right? So I think there is. But Zach being traded to the Golden State Warriors before the trade deadline, I'm starting to agree with you that there are starting to be some signs that can happen, right? Now, Brian, also, I gotta call you out a little bit. Stop trying to circumvent the rules. Just call the voicemail line, bro. Just call the – like, you're so extra. Brian is so extra. He's high in extra. No, that's my dude, man. I appreciate you for supporting the channel, man. You've come on here recently and been a big supporter of the channel. We appreciate you, except for your comment in the Discord. I had to cook you a little bit, but it's all in fun and in love there. But overall, like, it does seem like if LaVine is moved by the trade deadline – matter of fact, I'll say this. If the Bulls move either LaVine or Vooch at the trade deadline, it seems like the Golden State Warriors are probably the most likely candidate in that case. That's just what it seems like it's pointing to, and we'll see if that ends up being what actually happens in real life. So we'll see. All right, let's get into this next voicemail, man. This one's from Greg.
What up, Hayes? This is Greg, man. I'm happy to see how this game went against the Nuggets because Billy finally did something that he haven't done all goddamn year. He played the young guys that cut to the basket instead of just playing starting passive-ass P. And then you see when passive-ass P came off the bench, he came off the bench very assertive. See, motherfucker got a lot of little fire under your ass to get it together. But, you know, all's well that is well. But you know what I'm saying? Let me hear your thoughts about that. Because we needed to play the young guys to see what we have. And he's finally getting the goddamn split out of his ass and getting it together.
Pete will be more assertive off the bench. I think Pete will, he's definitely been more active. I think he's definitely been more active off the bench. And I think at some point as well that that P. Will is just like, it's who you're playing with as well. Like, I think that energy that you're playing with, it's hard for that not to be like, P. Will in the starting lineup had to play a role. Not to say that he's not playing a role coming off the bench too, but like that whole unit is just playing with a lot more fervor. And I think because of that, you kind of got to keep up your energy, or you're the sore thumb sticking out in that case, and that could be a little bit infectious, right? And I think that's paying off for P. Will in the best ways. And I think that there's something, and as I said in the top of the show, there's something with that unit that's starting to look a little special in the most positive ways. And I really like that, and let's see if it's going to continue for P. Will. Because if it is, regardless if he's a bench player or not, find a way to impact the game. P. Will's impact in the game. So that's the thing that it comes down to me for that. All right, let's get into the next voicemail, man. This one's from Shay.
What's up, hey? This is Shay. Look, man. Hey, I understand what people are saying about Patrick Williams being a bench player, but I don't see it that way. Look, I think he should play most of his minutes that he gets on a day-to-day basis with the bench so he could score a little bit more. But, I mean, there is a world where he could start, because unless you plan on, you know, moving Miles Bucelis to that starting lineup, you're going to definitely need some size to combat with the league's average power forwards. Now look, I know he's been performing well off the bench, and that's cool and all, but I'm not buying it with the whole, oh, he's just going to be a bench player his whole career. I mean, I believe that there is spurts where you could have him start and play most of his minutes off of the bench. I mean, with the bench unit. Or you could do like Tom Thibodeau did with Taj Gibson. Have him come off the bench, but then if he's playing good, have him close out games where he could be part of the closing unit. That's how I would play it. I'm not just going to say he's just a long bench player, because I've seen him be effective in the starting lineup as well. He just has to want it for himself. And think about it, you even brought it to our attention. His numbers are no different when he starts, when he's coming off the bench last couple of years. Hey, that's just my opinion. Anyway, tell me what you think. Peace.
Staggering P. Will's bench minutes. Like, I do think P. Will is eventually probably going to get back in the starting lineup. The fact that Billy Donovan's been so noncommittal and saying like, yeah, you know, P. Will, I never planned on P. Will staying on the bench. That's not necessarily the plan here. So I do think that, and maybe, and again, get him. It's who you playing with. Get those minutes out there with Dalen. Get him some minutes out there with Modest Bucilis. Like him and Modest, 3 and 4, right? Modest has been actually more effective at the 3 so far this season than at the 4. That's because of size and things like that. I don't know if that's going to continue. But there's something about those guys when they're out there on the court together. You, as a head coach, owe it to your players and to yourself and to your team to keep exploring that. And let's hope that Billy Donovan's doing that, right? And so, again, Billy Donovan is always that Billy Donovan curve you got to worry about there, and we'll see what comes about for that. All right, let's get into the last voicemail for today. This one's from Reginald.
Hey, this is Reginald from Columbus, Georgia. Just calling to give my take on one of your earlier bids. I agree that the Bulls should place a certain value on their players. For instance, just worth a first-round pick. You know, he's come down from where he was earlier in the season. But he's definitely worth a first, back worth two firsts, even if one of those has to be protected. But I don't think they should go for one that's far out. But I'm thinking that maybe they should go ahead and one first early and one late for that. Anything less than that isn't really worth going after. The board doesn't really have a whole lot in terms of assets, but these are things that they shouldn't. They shouldn't like hold on. They should definitely be going after these picks, because that's their future. Now, but really, I don't think they can really move until after they get rid of Billy. And these last 2 weeks prove that he's not fit to be a coach of this team or probably any other in the NBA right now, because he just can't get to any team that I can think of that full effort.
Here's the thing. I get, like, anytime anybody says, well, what's the point of doing this as long as Billy Donovan's still the coach? You still have to improve your team. It'd be stupid to not make moves to improve your team or to choose your direction just because Billy Donovan, like, this team believes in Billy Donovan, regardless of how we feel as fans, right? Say the same thing to Winton all the time. Like, we can talk about the Billy Donovan's negatives all the time. They exist. They're there, right? But your job as your front office is still to try to improve your team. Yeah, they have this blinders on about Billy Donovan, but to say we shouldn't do anything as long as Billy Donovan's still the coach, that's just stupid. No, you still need to try to do everything in your power to make your team better. Do they need to remove the blinders to Billy Donovan? Yeah, we all know that. We see that. But that doesn't mean, hey, well, we're not going to make this move until Billy. No front office is going to do that. No front office in reality is going to say that. Now, the reality that we need this front office to come to isn't let's not make moves as long as Billy Donovan's here. It's we need them to come to the realization you got to eventually see that you got to kind of move on here, right? Like, you got to see that eventually, right? And I will say this. The last time Billy Donovan was about to go into the last year of his contract, he got an extension. Next year is the last year of Billy Donovan's contract, and we've heard no talk of a contract extension at all yet. Now, granted, he got a secret extension before, so that's always that little thing in the back of our minds as well, but, like, we've heard nothing about it yet. So let's see how this plays out in the offseason, because I could see a world in which maybe Billy Donovan wants some security about what's happening here, especially if we're going to continue to go younger and keep a top 10 pick. And if that doesn't happen, then do the Bulls and Billy Donovan agree to part ways? Like, I don't want to start any rumors here, but just keep a lookout for that. But all right, guys, make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We're the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See Red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.